No, we do the dance.
That's right. No, we really do the dance.
Okay, good. Hi. Nice to be back. What I'm talking about today is Vision of Hope Health Alliance. It's a community-based program, and a little about barriers to healthcare and how Vision of Hope addresses barriers to healthcare. Is it stuck? I have no disclosures. Vision of Hope, while it's trying to unstick itself, Vision of Hope is funded by a variety of different funders, and I'll have a slide at the end. I'll talk a little more about that, but I am personally derive no income directly from Vision of Hope. Yes. Good. And you just skipped the disparities. When you read the literature, there's barriers to healthcare as well as eye care, and there's a lot of overlap. So I think that's kind of interesting. I think sometimes as eye care people, we kind of think we're off here and kind of by ourselves. But really, when you look at general medical care, there's a lot of similarities when we talk about the disparity for healthcare. Disparities barriers have been widely studied. Maybe I need to use this one. Okay. Barriers have been widely studied. You know many sources in the literature. There's a whole laundry list. The number one thing that always comes to mind is finances, health insurance. But there's a whole laundry list. I don't need to read them to you because we're going to talk more about them. I think the most important thing we should do is recognize these barriers. They exist. We see them in our patients all the time. And if you take a step back and kind of think about it from the patient's perspective, it really helps us to empathize with our patients and many of the situations that they're in. The Vision of Hope Health Alliance, as I mentioned before, is a grant-funded program where we provide eye care to low-income, uninsured people, okay, adults. We provide basic eye care, follow-up care, eyeglasses, contact lenses, prosthetic eyes, low-vision devices, so pretty much everything they need up to surgery. We don't cover ophthalmologic visits or surgery, but pretty much everything up to that. Through 3 years in the program, just to give you a little background, we've served 3,121 patients. If the patients require, when they come in, we have a case manager, a case worker who meets the patient, talks with them, educates them further about health care, general health care as well as eye care, goes over information with them. If they don't have a primary care provider, we refer them to a primary care provider through one of our partnering federally qualified health centers or community health centers. The terms seem to be somewhat interchangeable. Through 3 years, 273 patients made appointments and 182 kept these appointments. Now, you may wonder how people get into the Vision of Hope program. A little bit unique, we have about 20-some partner agencies. Some are service agencies, some are the federally qualified health centers, or we have people who walk in, who call on the phone, who find out the program from a variety of different sources. So it's a segmented population somewhat, but it is kind of diverse in how they are referred to the program. And really what makes Vision of Hope unique, and the part I'm really proud of, is this referral to the primary care doctor. Not a lot of eye care programs have it. I think, you know, when we're in our practices and we see people who don't have a primary care physician, it's really easy kind of to gloss over that and move on with the eye care part of the exam. But I think having a primary care provider is really important. When you go to our referral population, the people referred from the service agencies or walk-in, about half don't have a primary care physician. So we refer them. This gives us a really great opportunity to educate people. We've got a captive audience that are there, and we tell them about the importance of having a primary care physician. Now, the barriers I talked about earlier, I mentioned, we have in our population, too. So there's a lot of similarities in terms of the barriers. Of course, our people are low-income, uninsured, so, of course, no health insurance and costs. That's the huge one. But we have all the other barriers as well. And I thought I'd go into a couple examples of some patients. Sherry I've talked on her before. Sherry is a really a neat person. She's very smart, very articulate, outgoing, but she doesn't have a lot of education. And she doesn't come off that way when you talk to her and you look at her picture. You know, she looks like she could be at this meeting, you know. But she doesn't have a lot of education. She first came to us, she was working at a temp agency. She had these decrepit, old, broken-down glasses, like from the 70s, those big, really bad-looking things. And she knew her vision wasn't that great, and those glasses were horrible, and she thought, if I want to get ahead in this world today, if I want to get a decent job, I got to get a pair of glasses. She didn't have health insurance, and she said, I'm going to go into debt. I don't have money in the bank account, but I'm going to go into debt. I'm going to find a way to get me some eyeglasses. So she wound up calling our eye clinic, got referred to Vision of Hope, and she was seen in Vision of Hope. Sherry, now a year later, when she came in, she didn't have a... See, I did it with the goofy mouse again. She didn't have a primary care physician, so we referred her to a primary care physician. She wound up being diagnosed with diabetes. These pictures are about a year old from Sherry. Sherry's lost 45 pounds. She's trim, and she's a tall woman too, so she's trim these days. And she's so outgoing. She made friends with one of the nurses at the Federally Qualified Health Center, and she plays bingo with her. So she's really integrated herself in not only eye care, but medical care now. And she's so much healthier, and she says that, I'm so much healthier now. And what's interesting about Sherry is that she never came saying, I'm going to go into debt to get my eyes checked because of I want the health of the eyes looked at, or I'm going to go into debt to receive primary medical care because I want to make sure I don't have diabetes. She never said that. She said, I want to get a pair of eyeglasses. And I think, you know, the education for her was key. Once we educated her, you know, now she's 100% on board. But before then, she just wasn't, it wasn't in her mind that I need the importance of getting general eye care or general medical care. Employment status. Elba works as a live-at-home nanny. She gets her room and board. She gets $100 spending money. She doesn't have, or per week. So $100 per week, $400 a month. That's it for her personal expenses. She doesn't have health insurance. She'd been noticing her vision was getting worse, but she didn't want to let her employer in on the great secret because she was afraid she'd lose her job and then she'd really be in some big trouble. The employer really liked Elba but had noticed that she wasn't cleaning as well. Just things weren't quite right, and it really came to a head as one of the little baby put something in her mouth. And the mom had seen it, and Elba was right there, and Elba didn't see it. And the mother confronted Elba and said, you know, what's up? You know, you didn't know. You've been doing a great job all this time, and now the baby's got something in her mouth, and you didn't even notice it. What's going on? So the whole story came out about Elba's problem with her vision. She wound up coming to Vision of Hope as well. She was determined to have cataracts. And we don't cover surgery, but we do have some sources, and we refer them, and we cross our fingers that they get the procedure. Elba got the procedure. And the cool part of Elba's story, I think, is after the fact, she said, I can see the rain. I haven't seen rain in years. I mean, can you imagine not being able to see rain? She was very happy because she could see the rain. And her employer also noticed that Elba was right back to being her usual self, keeping the house immaculate, taking wonderful care of her children. Everybody was happy. But it all started, you know, if that baby wouldn't have put that something in her mouth, Elba may have gone on pretending, or if the employer didn't like Elba so much, she might have just fired her on the spot after the baby put the thing in her mouth. So, you know, employment status, people are afraid of losing their jobs. Language barrier. The patients we see through Vision of Hope primarily speak. There's a variety of different languages we provide interpretation for. Primarily the ones, the languages we provide interpretation for are Spanish, Cantonese, or Mandarin. Okay? Now, I know this isn't the best when you look at the literature. Really, what we should be doing is having practitioners who speak the native language. That's really the best way to go, but we do the best we can with Vision of Hope, and we contract for interpretation. We've done that for 295 patients through 3 years. But it kind of makes sense. You know, if I'm going to the doctor and they speak some different language than I speak, you might wonder, why should I go back? What did they say? Did they understand what I meant? There's so many things that you don't get. And the top, probably everybody, even if you don't know too much Spanish, you can see no means no. And last word, you can maybe think that means English. So, you know, I don't speak English. The second one down, that says I don't speak English too. But it says it in Mandarin. And who would have any idea about that? So it really makes it hard, I think, for a lot of the Chinese patients that we see, because there are so many dissimilarities with the language. You know, it is a great barrier. And like I said, we don't have a lot of the answers, but we do the best we can. The other interesting thing is I don't have a good story for that one, and that's because I can't communicate with those patients myself to get the stories. Another thing we hear a lot about is people taking care of other people. Esther, and I always want to say Esther, but her real name is Esther. She grew up in Louisiana picking cotton way back in the day. She worked part-time through the years, was a housewife. Her husband became, and she had her husband's health insurance all these years. He was working. He became disabled. Now he's got Social Security disability. She's lost her insurance. She doesn't quite know what to do, where to go. And on top of that, her husband needs her to stay home and take care of him. So she's kind of, you know, she's got a lot of challenges. Claire is another one we've seen. Claire is she's in her 50s. She's only got, again, like a middle school education. She had 6 kids, and she always wanted to go back to school, but could never find the time. And now she's got 8 grandkids that, unfortunately, she's, you know, trying to do her own thing, but she keeps getting dragged in to be the care provider, the primary care provider for her grandkids, because her kids have some issues of their own. Clara actually has glaucoma, and we've been trying to get her back for further follow-up, but we haven't been able to because she can never make the appointments. So, I mean, these are real issues that our patients have, real-life issues that prevent them from getting eye care and from getting general medical care as well. Homeopathic remedies. I know sometimes you're in the clinic and somebody's talking about some homeopathic remedy, and you just, in your mind, kind of roll your eyes and think, what are they coming up with now? But homeopathic remedies, some of these people don't come from eye care or medical care because it's, you know, I got a red, you know, my redness in my eye, I'm going to do whatever grandma did, whatever my mom did, I'll just do the same thing, I'm sure it'll make it better. And I know we all know in the literature it's been documented, different remedies that actually do help. I was just reading in IOVS, it was in the July edition, in Colombia, to cure pterygium, they literally put fruit juice, this specific type of fruit juice, in their eye, just straight in their eye. And when they did the research, they isolated an active agent in the fruit juice, and I might be totally massacring this, Physalis peruviana, and showed that this active agent actually helps decrease fibroblast activity. Thereby, and this was in rabbit eyes, so, you know, the next step is going to be to look in human eyes, I'm sure, but maybe that really does treat pterygium, so maybe it really does work. So I think we have to understand that homeopathic remedies can prevent people from seeking eye care, but also when they come in the chair, maybe the remedies do work. So I think we need to be aware of that and treat them with some respect because, you know, they work in some cases and studies have shown it. So I've gone over some of our patients and some of the reasons people don't get eye care, and I think we need to just be aware that they're not excuses, they're barriers, and be respectful to people's life situation and the challenges they face. So I think it's really important we talk to people about the importance of primary medical care, primary eye care, having a primary care doctor, and also talk to our colleagues. And that's one reason I'm here today. So a couple of the takeaways I wanted to get, although the Vision of Hope, we deal with a segment of the population, the barriers, the challenges our patients face are illustrations of what happens in the general population as well. Barriers affect healthcare choices. The need for eyeglasses can absolutely be prioritized before the need for eye care or general medical care. So I think that's really important because it gives us as eye care providers a really great way to educate the patients. Well, you came for your glasses today, but let me tell you about the health of your eyes. Or you came for your glasses, let me tell you about the importance of seeing a primary care physician. So I think it's really important that we take that opportunity to educate our patients and to make referrals to doctors and to other programs where the barriers can be addressed. So, you know, if you have that patient who speaks Mandarin, to refer them to a doctor, if you can find one, that speaks Mandarin. I mean, that's really the best we can do for our patients. I talked about this at the very beginning. If you have any questions, feel free to contact me. That's the video. I have the brochures. I want to take a minute to thank all of our funders, especially the Washington Square Health Foundation. They were our nominating partner when we went up for our grant to the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. And without them, without really the Washington Square Health Foundation and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, Vision of Hope never would have been possible. So thank you.
Okay, thank you, Dennis. And Jeff Todd, get your thing up here.
And I can speak quick, so don't worry, we'll get caught up here.